Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Very welcome back to the show. 53106 for 30 cents. If you want to get in contact tonight, you can tweet us as well at Off the Ball. It's Richie here with you, and we are beginning our look ahead to Sunday's All Ireland Hurling Final. It is pitting Galway against Waterford, and I'm joined on the line by the Times and the Sunday Times, Dennis Walsh, and also to longtime contributor to the show, Tommy Dunn. Gents, you're very welcome to this evening's show.
Hi, Richie.
There you go, in stereo. Wonderfully done. Dennis, we'll turn to you first of all. I know you're a man who relishes the occasion, let's say, of an All-Ireland final, and you're kind of very particular about, I suppose, how you approach it. How has been the approach to this one? I mean, it's a fairly novel pairing for this late stage in the championship.
Yeah, it's a very novel pairing, Richie. And, you know, it's much different from the last time we say, for example, at Waterford were in the final. I remember 2008, I made two or three visits to the county before the game and over the course of the previous fortnight, and the place was just, you know, it was not quite hysterical, but it was maybe 1 or 2 degrees just below hysteria, and, you know, it was an extraordinary kind of build-up. The players got wrapped up in it too much. I mean, you know, and that was no fault of anybody. I mean, it was a whole new experience for the county and for the players and for everyone around the team. So it's much more managed and controlled this time. I mean, they're still fantastic colour in Waterford. I was down there last week, and, you know, there's a great buzz around the place, but I think they've learned from the mistakes of the last build-up from 9 years ago, and there's much more now of a kind of just that little bit of a distance between the players and what's going on outside the camp. Now, that's impossible to control completely, but in as far as anybody can control it, I think Waterford are doing a super job. And, you know, it is you know, a fantastic game in prospect because, you know, for so many reasons. But, you know, just that, as you say, just that you know, for the first thing that strikes everyone is just the sheer novelty of it.
Yeah. Tommy, this lead into an All-Ireland hurling final seems to be one of the more subdued I can remember, because neither of the camps is all that mouthy when it comes down to it. I mean, there's no Dave Fitzgerald present. There's no kind of needle between the two sides, at least on the surface, it would seem anyway. Your last few days when you're heading into Wednesday now before an All-Ireland final, what was your kind of preparation like? Where was your head at this point in the week?
Well, you'd be trying to keep things as normal, as close to routine and as normal as you can, but... And in the week coming to an All-Ireland final, that's a lot easier said than done. And particularly if you happen to be working within your own county and your daily routine involves you being around your own county, that would be quite difficult for players, I suspect. But there's a balance. Every player tries to get a balance in terms of enjoying the build-up and enjoying every moment of it because it is so precious. And also... in making sure you're sticking to your routine and you know your daily plan, so it's easier said than done. But overall, it's a beautiful time for a player. Like, it's a very, very special time. I only experienced it on two occasions in 97, 2001, and, you know, I remember the build up quite clearly for 2001, and it's a fantastic time for a player. It's why players play the game, is to experience weeks like this.
Being born and raised in suburban Dublin, you kind of almost miss out on the sense of occasion that this brings to small villages and towns that will be in and around Galway and Waterford. And I suppose yourself, Tommy, with Tipperary, I mean, there's almost a beaming of pride that comes from places in weeks like these.
Yeah, exactly. And that's beautifully put, Richie. That's exactly it. It's a very special time, number one, for the player involved. But like you remember, his family... his friends, his club, his school, everyone takes immense pride in seeing one of their players represent their county on the All-Ireland final day. It's a beautiful thing in Irish sport, and it never changes, and it's just a very, very special time. And I hope, you know, you'd hope that both sets of players are enjoying the build-up. And it's just, listen, at the end of the day, the player has to separate himself from the emotional side of it, because the most important thing of all the days going in the year is to play at your best on All-Ireland final day. That's what every player is striving for. And, you know, the build-up is crucial to that.
We had Austin Flynn from the 1959 All-Ireland winning Waterford side on the show last night. He's now into his 90s, and he, even in his dotage, is absolutely buzzing for this final. As we mentioned, Dennis, it's the novelty of it and the fact that Waterford are looking to create a bit of history on their behalf as well. The kind of all adds to this occasion, I suppose.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, I was talking to a man today, an unbelievable Waterford supporter, Dave Walsh in Dungarvan. He had a shop there, and he's involved now in Club Dacia, and he founded it. He was one of the founders of the supporters club in the early 90s, and Dave's been going to Waterford games since 63, you know, and he's through thick and thin. I mean, he was there when they lost to Kerry, he was there when they were in Division 3 of the league, he was there for all the months of final disappointments and so on and so forth. And you know, there are I mean, Dave is an exceptional supporter, but there are so many others like Dave who have been so loyal and, you know, have shown incredible solidarity with various Waterford teams for generations. And, you know, this a game like this and a build-up like they're having down there, you know, that's for those people. And, you know, as Tommy pointed out, you know, there's definitely balance, and it's important for the supporters, the ordinary GA people, the people who keep the clubs going week in, week out. It's important for those people to, you know, to embrace this and enjoy it and to get as much over as they possibly can. I saw a brilliant picture this morning in the Munster Express, which is one of the papers in Waterford, did a fantastic 48-page tabloid pullout on the match. And there's a brilliant picture of the main street in Capoquin, you know, just the colour, the banners, the bunting. And, you know, that just captures what small communities feel about, you know, a game like this. And, you know, people from, you know, neighbours, children playing in Croke Park. And it is unique. It's something really special. And, you know, and I'm sure it's the same in Galway this week. I mean, I just wasn't down there this week, but I'm sure it's the same down there.
Yeah, the sense even of pride that comes from these places is huge. In terms of from the Waterford camp that you're speaking to, Dennis, is there a sense of expectation? Is there a sense of enthusiasm for this? Or is there even a degree of trepidation playing into all these things?
No, I wouldn't say there's any trepidation. I mean, clearly there was 2008, there was a little bit of, well, you know, even though Kilkenny were overwhelming favourites, there was just hope against hope that Waterford would pull something off. And that's what it was, really. I mean, there was no logical reason why Waterford should win that game, given that they were up against probably the greatest team that we've ever seen in Kilkenny. And, you know, it turned out, you know, look, they got more of a beating than anyone thought they would, clearly, but there was just a little bit excessive, the hope. It was just unfounded, really. This time it's much different. I mean, this is a team that has been around the block. They've played all the big teams in the last few years. Okay, they've had a couple of bad beatings themselves, but they're so comfortable in how they're set up. They're so comfortable with each other. They've won big games in Croke Park now. You know, they're just such a strong, solid group of lads. There's a different kind of a tone to the group as well. Maybe to the 2000s group. I think this group is probably on overall a bit more grounded, maybe. And I think you know, that'll certainly help. And you know, I think it'll be close. And I think, you know, Waterford are going to have a serious shout.
That grounding, Tommy, does that come from? Not necessarily, obviously the management of Derek McGrath is going to be huge in this, and I was listening to him speaking to WLR a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about the different management styles that each different player needs, and his intricacies and how he gets involved in that is quite remarkable to listen to. But also, if you look at the very basic level, it's that Munster semi-final defeat to Cork. I mean, it's placing that nugget in the back of their minds going right back to the start of this year's championship that will, I suppose, always keep this team on the level as they progress.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. As Dennis was speaking there, you know, what sprang to mind for me was Derek McGrath and the role he has with you know, the hugely important role, obviously, that he has with this group. But, you know, Derek is a man that, you know, very, very balanced himself. He communicates very well. He's very comfortable in his own skin. He's just, when he has his public face on there, whether it's before matches or after matches, whether there's, you know, something controversial that he has to discuss or whether it's the usual stuff about games, he's just very composed, very balanced, very measured and very grounded. And I think, you know, like, you know, with the exception of Brick and Kevin Moore, and like, it's quite a young group that he has. And it just seems to be a bit of maturity about them that maybe wouldn't always have been there, whether that's fair or unfair, I'm not sure, with Waterford teams in the past. I mean, like, when I think of Waterford, you think of a very passionate supporters, which are clearly still passionate, and players. And sometimes I think that maybe didn't always, you know, it may not have always suited them to some degree. But I think in terms of the way they're coming across through Derek and the players, they just seem to be very much in control of what they're doing, very much know where they want to go, and are on the road to getting there. And I think Derek has been impeccable in everything that he's done really over the last couple of years. And they've had some rough times, as Dennis has pointed out, but they've weathered them brilliantly. And, you know, their style of play, of course, has been under the microscope, and it's probably still is under the microscope, and lots of people don't like it and don't agree with it, but it doesn't bother them one iota. And, you know, they're in a great position going into this final.
Is the criticism of their style of play unfounded, as long as you keep pulling out results like they have done so far during the championship?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter really, actually, whether it's founded. Like, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I don't think there's been a whole lot of unfair criticism, let's say, on it. You know, I think you know, early on in the time, it was a little bit all over the place, and, you know, I suppose it was a free-for-all when they took a heavy beating from Tip last year. And, of course, when they were beaten earlier this year, then people maybe thought that was the nail in the coffin of it. But, I think the crucial point is that Derek, and the only thing that matters to Waterford is that they believe in it, and they believe it works for them. And it's, you know, and that's all that matters. So I think they're well used to having it under scrutiny, and probably they don't they don't pay much heed to it. And what is interesting from my point of view is watching them is that I think in the semi final against Cork they went to a level with their play that I didn't think they could. And, you know, they showed that they were a very formidable team in the semi-final against Cork. And I think that's the key point, really.
Mm. Dennis, was it fair to say that Galway have had the tougher route here?
Certainly, I suppose, they kind of, when Kilkenny were out of the way, which they kind of marched through Leinster very easily. Obviously, the Tip game was going to be an inches kind of a game, as it has been between those two teams for the last number of years, actually going back to a qualifier in Thurles. So this is, you know, for 4 years in a row, Tip and Galway have produced cliffhangers, and that's what they've been. So that was, you know, that was the game, that was their kind of potential stumbling block. I mean, once Kilkenny were out of the way in Leinster, you know, they weren't going to have too much trouble with the teams that were left. I mean, from Morford's point of view, when, you know, anybody that was in Thurles on the day that Cork beat them could see that, you know, they had issues to address. But, you know, they got a favourable enough draw, you know, awfully in the qualifiers. But then, crikey, I mean, Kilkenny in Thurles, that was a huge game for them psychologically, Rich. I mean, they haven't beaten Kilkenny for, what was it, 50 years or more than 50 years? I mean, for this group of Waterford players to get over that that hurdle was huge. And you know, I think since then they've had incredible momentum. They were much too good for Wexford in Parky Keeve, and they were excellent the last day against Cork. So, and just on the other point, I mean, the one thing, I mean, about their style, about Waterford's style, one thing that's been said repeatedly over the last couple of years is Waterford can't win an All-Ireland playing like this, but yet here they are in the final. And I think the kind of irony of it is that the way they play, how comfortable they are in it, how grooved it is actually a huge comfort to them now going into a game like Sunday. All of them know exactly what their role is. There, you know, there won't be any surprises in how Waterford's set up, so there won't be anything for the players themselves to be concerned about. They have it down pat. They're going to an All-Ireland final, you know, having got there playing like this. So, I mean, that must be a huge comfort to them.
But conversely as well, Tommy, further to Dennis's point there, all of the talk has been on how Waterford will set up and how Waterford will play, regardless of how predictable it might be at this stage. So for Galway, it's not necessarily the unknown is what they're going to present, but it might necessarily be slightly under the radar compared to what Waterford have been throughout the season.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, really, isn't it, the setup of finals? Because it seems to me that Galway are going to be the favourites going into the game, and that there's possibly more pressure on Galway going into the All-Ireland final because of the favourites tag. So, it seems to me it's set up that Galway have to kind of overcome the Waterford style. Now, that mightn't be the way it'll pan out at all, but I think, like, the beauty of it from the Waterford point of view is that they know exactly what Galway have, how Galway play, who their danger men are, you know, where they did the damage against Tipperary. And, you know, I think that suits Waterford in a major way, to be honest with you, because they do keep it very tight at the back. They'll have a lot of numbers behind the half-back line. and they're going to put a lot of pressure on Galway to see what Galway can come up with early on. And if Galway don't have the answers early on, then Waterford will grow in confidence. So, you know, all of a sudden, maybe Waterford have a slight advantage just because of the way they play the game and how well they know what Galway are going to bring and the personnel that Galway have. So, there's loads of, like, it's really intriguing, to be honest with you. I can't wait for it. Like, from a neutral point of view, it's a brilliant game to look forward to.
One of the main aspects that have struck me throughout the length of Galway's campaign, to this point at least, it first stood out when I was watching them play against Offaly, definitely stood out then when you saw them in that Leinster final against Wexford, is just the sheer physicality of Galway. And I don't mean necessarily in that they're putting it about a bit, but they're big units, pretty much from 1 to 15.
Yeah.
And it has been nothing but in their favour throughout the course of this championship so far. It's a remarkable aspect that this is a team who've before been spoken about cowering in the big occasion, but they've looked like giants throughout this one.
Yeah, no, they have. Well, they look like giants. They are giants, and they've played like giants. I mean, it's not that they've had small teams or have lacked physicality in the past, but they're, you know, it's one thing having a big team, but when you have big players playing well, then they can look twice as big. So, you know, that's very true. And they have lots of different options, and they have danger men all over the place. So, and they're, obviously they're very good at, they can play a long direct game because they have players that can benefit from that. Like a bit similar to the Kilkenny team in their pomp when they had, you know, big physical players that you could hit 50, 60, 70 yard balls down on top of them and they weren't going to come right back up at you. And that's exactly the way it is for Galway. But I think the crucial part in Galway's season so far was the way they dismantled Tipperary in the National League final. I think that was a bit of a crossroads for them. I think they made a statement that day, physically, technically, tactically, every way, and they dominated Tipperary. And I think Galway didn't care who they met after that, because I think deep down they knew they put Tipperary away when they really had to. I think they knew they had the measure from last year as well, and Tip got out the gap. But I think Galway have just grown in confidence. They're playing, you know, they're playing in a super confident fashion.
How, Dennis, do you go about counteracting a side who are playing with such swagger when you have a half-forward line that will probably be comprised of Cathal Mannion, Joe Canning and Joseph Cooney? We're expecting, I suppose, in the absence of Conor Gleeson, Dara Fives to possibly pick up Canning, and then we'll have Tadhg De Burka back in his familiar role of sweeper. But it's those kind of matchups that we're talking about, particularly amongst the Waterford backs and the Galway forwards, that are going to be so intriguing to watch, I suppose, just as they line out just after the anthems and the parade and all that on Sunday, about how they match up.
Yeah, the matchups will be intriguing. I mean, I think Conor Gleeson is a big loss from that point of view, because he has been, you know, even though it's his first season kind of on the team, he's already kind of shown that he's an excellent man marker, and they used him in that role against Conor Leahan the last day, and it went very well. And I suspect if he had been available, he would have been the man possibly to pick up Joe Canning. But I think one thing that Waterford really worry about with the Galway team is their aerial power. Now, against Tip, I actually went through it there the other day, in the first half of the semi-final, Galway sent more than 20 long balls into their forward line and got permanent possession from 18 of them. So, you know, they have this incredible power in the air. But against Kilkenny in Thurles, Waterford were terrific in the air against Kilkenny. And if they weren't winning the ball clean first time, they were getting the ball to the ground and winning the scraps. Whenever Cork went long and high into their forward line in the semi-final, Waterford mopped it up. They were really aggressive in the air, and as I said, if they couldn't win it first time, it was on the ground and they were all over it. And I think that's going to be a key battle area on Sunday. Galway did this to Kilkenny in the 2012 Leinster final, when Kilkenny were seen as, you know, the most aerially dominant team in the championship. Galway got the ball to the ground and won the scraps, and I think that's the challenge that Waterford face on Sunday, to try and keep the ball out of the hands of these Galway forwards, because, as you say, Richie, even though they're big men, they're also classy hurlers. I mean, the two Coonies are over 6 feet, two classy hurlers. Conor Whelan has turned into, when he came on the scene 2 or 3 years ago, he was a wispy 19-year-old. He's far from that now. He's now a powerful player with all the attributes that you'd want for the modern game. So, you know, that's going to be a key battleground, obviously, and obviously the matchups. Like, it's gone a bit like Gaelic football in that respect. I mean, successful matchups are vital to the way Waterford play, and it'll be, as you say, it'll be intriguing to see at half three on Sunday, who's on who.
When we're looking at, you know, the matchups, etc., we kind of have to look at the potential that the likes of Austin Gleeson and the threat that he might pose from a Waterford perspective, Tommy, over the course of the last year or two that he's had in a Waterford jersey. This would be pretty much the icing on the cake, and the stage is set for him to, I suppose, really make an impression this coming weekend.
There is, but there's a bit of pressure on him based on, you know, all the controversy in the semi-final, I think, Richie. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles that. And You know, it'd be interesting to see if there's any, you know, if Galway test his mettle early on to see if they can get a reaction, because you know he got, everyone knows he probably got, he was fairly lucky to get through without getting suspended the last day. So if there's an incident early on, you know, there's a lot of pressure on, and you know he has to be very careful. But like, he's a match winner, and you know he you know, from having quite a poor game by his standards in the semi-final against Cork, when the opportunity presented itself, the match was over in 2 minutes, and he was centrally involved in all of that. So, Waterford will test Galway, I think, in ways that they haven't maybe been tested so far this year. You know, Galway knew exactly. Tip brought a fairly conventional style. Six forwards on six backs, and you know, obviously they knew each other very well. But Galway or Waterford will take Galway into places that they're not used to going to, and you know, it'll be interesting to see whether Galway players stick or whether they follow or what way they'll actually work. And you know, that'll be an interesting aspect. That it could well be that it might well be a relatively low scoring game compared to what we've been used to, because both sets of backs are pretty good.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting from that point of view. But like you said, Gleeson is a central character. Jamie Barron is a central player in it. Kevin Moran and Brick Walsh, they're really the key influential players, I think, from a Waterford perspective going forward. So, you know, as much as Waterford will be trying to get their matchups right, you can be certain sure that Galway will have matchups in their head for some of the Waterford players.
Dennis, as interesting as the matchups and all that are, and as I suppose intricate as the tactics may prove to be, especially on the Waterford side of things coming Sunday, are we actually expecting a good game out of these pair?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny, like, people who don't like the Waterford style, and that's a matter of taste. I mean, like, you know, you're perfectly entitled not to like the way they play, but they kind of, it goes unnoticed how many high scoring games that they're involved in. This has been the highest scoring championship in the history of hurling. There'd be more 40 plus point matches, as in like 40 actual white flags. There's been more of those 40 plus point plus matches than ever, and Waterford have been involved in six of them. So there may not be that many goals, but one of Galway's strongest points is their capacity to shoot from distance and score from distance. I mean, when they played Offaly at two sweepers, and Galway just picked off points from 60, 70 yards. Against Wexford, you know, they were against a sweeper as well. Again, long-range scores. Waterford, because they only played, you know, one or two inside, depend on outside shooting as well. You know, and that's where guys like Kevin Moran come into it. Arthur Gleeson comes into it, Patrick Manning comes into it. You know, outside shooting is a vital part of their game. So I don't expect it to be low scoring. There may not be goals, but it'll be high scoring, and I think it'll be fascinating. And Galway have all the aces, Richie, because they have the players. They can go direct. They can play any way you want, really. I mean, they have the athletes, they have the size, they have class in their forward line, and you know, they can play any way Waterford want. Waterford have a way that suits them, and I think that gives them a huge chance.
Tommy, if you're going to predict this one very quickly,
I'm going for Galway.
And why?
Because I think I think their time is now. I think I haven't seen a team playing better than them in the championship so far, and I think they have the physicality, and I think they have the balance right throughout their team to get the job done. But Waterford have gone to a level that I didn't expect them to go to, so it probably will go to the wire.
It's going to be a good one. Anyway, Dennis Walsh, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and Tommy Dunn as well. Thank you for your predictions and your insights into Sunday's All-Ireland Hurling Final. Tomorrow night, we are in Galway for our off-the-ball Hurling Final Roadshow with thanks to Bord Gáis Energy. Tommy Welsh, Cyril Farrell, Ollie Canning, Ken McGrath, Dahi Regan, Pete Finnerty and Anthony Cunningham. It's a cast of stars. We'll all be joining us at the Radisson Blue. That's ahead of Galway versus Waterford. Bord Gáis Energy has given us some amazing prizes to give away in the lead-up to the show. Tonight, we're giving you the chance to become a flag bearer for the county of your choice, Galway or Waterford, at the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship Final. Flag bearer has to be between 8 and 10 years of age, but they can bring along 3 guests with them, and you'll also get to go along to an exclusive match preview in the Players' Lounge on the day. If you want to find out how you can win this one, check out our Facebook page and check out how you can win. You, if you're aged between 8 and 10 years of age, or your little nipper is, can be a flag bearer on the day for either Galway or Waterford at the All-Ireland Hurling Final. Go to our Facebook page to find out how you can win, and our Off the Ball Roadshow is live from Galway tomorrow thanks to Bord Gáis Energy, hashtag hurling to the core. We'll be back after these.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.